Bill, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you, Jason?
Excellent. Very exciting week. Lots happening. The Sabres, like the Oilers, are the teams that have a lot of picks in the first two rounds and are both teams that need to improve. I guess let's start at goaltending. Do you have any idea who would be the number one option for the Sabres to acquire either via trade or free agency in goaltending?
Well, Tim Murray really wants a young backup that's kind of blocked from having that starter's job for a while. He said that a couple times now that's kind of what he's zeroing in on. Cam Talbot, Martin Jones, maybe John Gibson. I'm probably forgetting someone, but that seems to be his big focus this offseason, is getting a goalie, because you look at the Sabres and the roster is starting to fill out with two scoring lines up front, and the defense core looks pretty good, but they don't have a goalie. I mean, their only goalie right now is Chad Johnson, who's been a good backup, but I mean, I don't think they want to lean on him for a whole season. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because they have assets to deal to get one of these guys.
Do you see them moving predominantly draft picks, or is there any young guys they'd be willing to part with?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. And I think if they want to get one of these young goalies, it's probably going to have to cost them a notable prospect, one of these guys that we talk about all the time. I don't know if it would be Zadorov or whoever, but teams are going to call about guys like that. So they're going to have to make some tough decisions, but I really don't know. I mean, they have plenty of draft picks to trade, though, and I think they're willing to move number 21.
What about Cody Hodgson? I know because of his age, he'd be a buyout candidate at only one-third of his contract. You know, the guy had 10 points last year, Bill. Do you think he gets bought out before June 30th?
I would say yes. I think Bob McKenzie said this a couple of weeks ago when it first came out. I think if they're still talking about this openly, Tim Murray's had plenty of chances now to say that it's being considered, but they probably won't do it or whatever. But he hasn't wavered from it. He said he's a buyout candidate, and they're thinking about it. So I think if they're this far along, that they probably will buy him out. It's amazing. I mean, he's a guy you thought maybe last year would have 25 goals and 55 points and be a top six winger. And he's got that big contract, and he just had an awful year. I think I'm biased because I saw him up close, but maybe the worst year of any NHL forward. But he's young, and someone will pick him up.
Bill Hoppe joins us from Buffalo. What's gone wrong in Cody Hodgson? Bill, like when this guy, when he was traded, people like, you know, hey, Cody Hodgson looks like he's got some potential, should be a 50, 60-point player. Like 10 points, and it's not like he played 45 games. Like he had 10 points and getting a fair amount of ice time. Like is it just a confidence issue? Is he injured? Can he not skate? What's wrong with him as a player?
Well, he's probably not the best skater, but he has plenty of other talents. I think one of the things that happened to him this year was kind of the first time he had failed at something, and he had trouble grasping it. He had always been a guy who scored, who got his points, and it just, he couldn't handle it. That's what I kind of drew from it. A lot of people attribute it to him not getting along with Ted Nolan, Ted not liking him or whatever, this and that. Maybe that had something to do with it, but I think it was just he couldn't handle the failure. And he's a guy, he works out for Gary Roberts. He does this, he does that. It always seemed like he wanted to be the best. And talking to him now, you still get that, but he doesn't have that shine, obviously, that he had a couple of years ago. And you just wonder how he's going to handle getting bought out if it happens.
Yeah, well, it could be a wake-up call and could be a breath of fresh air for him. Obviously, whoever signs him, he's likely going to have to sign a short-term deal at reduced money from what he was making to kind of prove he can play. Do you think he can still be a top six forward in today's NHL?
Yeah, probably. We're only a year or so removed from him having a good year on a bad team, playing very well for Canada at the World Championship. He's young. He's excelled at two positions at times in the NHL, so he still has upside. But he didn't have, as you say, he didn't have 12 goals and 30 points. I mean, he had, whatever, five goals and 10 points or whatever it was. So, I mean, it was a bad year.
Oh, it was a horrible year. Jack Eichel, is he going to be their number one center right away?
A lot of people think so, but I could see Dan Bylsma easing him into things a bit, making him the number two or even number three center and not giving him 18, 20 minutes right away, just letting him acclimate to the NHL. But at some point next year, assuming he leaves school, which he probably will, Jack Eichel will probably be their number one center.
And Evander Kane, obviously, you know, people would assume that they're going to play together. But, you know, Dan Bylsma, he didn't have Sidney Crosby as a rookie, but he had him rather early in his career. Same with Jenny Malkin. And I don't want to say that Jack Eichel is going to be those two, but a lot of people think he could be just as good. Has Bylsma talked at all about, you know, how you develop and maybe nurture and protect those young superstar players?
I think he has a little bit. Like you say, he has those lessons from the Penguins, and not a lot of coaches can lean on those. And that's why I think you'll see Jack East into the lineup. Maybe he doesn't play with Evander Kane and Tyler Ennis early. Maybe he plays with Matt Molson or someone else. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. I mean, he's going to be the center of attention, obviously, and I think they need to treat it delicately.
On the back end, Nikita Zadorov, what's his status within the organization?
Well, I don't think they were too happy with him last year. It was, you know, one thing after another. It went on the whole year. But at the end of the day, he's a very good prospect. He's shown glimpses of being an NHL star already. And I think that they right now have him penciled in for one of their top four spots next year and playing 20-some minutes a night. That's about it. I mean, they don't want to send him to Rochester. They have that option this year, but apparently they don't want to do that. They don't think he's AHL material. But if he screws up again, then it's always hanging over his head, and they could do it.
What was the screw? Now, was it just missing a flight? Is it partying too much? What was it?
Well, in the beginning of the year, they didn't play him because they didn't think he had the proper habits, the maturity to play in the NHL. His flight was overbooked from wherever, the Dominican Republic, coming back from the All-Star break. Then he overslept Sunday morning, and he was scratched a few more games. So it went on the whole year, and, you know, he said the right things, and he does it again. He does something else again. So they weren't happy, and Ted Nolan wasn't happy, and I know he's gone, but, I mean, Dan Bylsma won't be happy with that either. And I think Tim Murray basically read him the riot act after the season and told him to shape up.
Bill, if the Buffalo Sabres are going to trade somebody off of their active roster, who do you think would most likely be?
That's a good question. I have to think about that. There's the untouchables that you would think. Tyler Ennis. I don't think a guy like Brian Chiantis is going anywhere. I'm not sure. I mean, a bad team like them, anyone's in play. But I'm not sure the first guy who would get traded, to be honest with you.
Okay, because I was looking at the roster, and, you know, like Evander Kane, they just acquired. You know, Matt Molson, I'm not sure, you know, has any trade value at $5 million. Tyler Ennis is one of their few really productive guys. No one, they would love to trade Cody Hodson, but no one in their right mind is going to take him for that contract. And, you know, on the back end, I think they want Josh Georges to protect a lot of their young D-men. Is Rasmus Ristolainen, is he of the young players in the organization, excluding Eichel, is he the one they're the most high on?
I think so. And I think he could, in the next couple of years, become a very, top-rate first-flight NHL defenseman, play 25 minutes, just have 35 points and be a physical presence and just do everything. He's that good, and I would make him an untouchable.
Bill, enjoyed the Sabres have three picks in the top 31, four in the top 51, so we'll likely be very active at the draft on Friday. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, Jason.